Good morning, everyone.
So I was just talking to someone out there about the surreal feeling this is. This last Sunday in here, and then moving to a sanctuary that looks quite different, believe me. And so this five-year process really kind of coming to an end. It does feel surreal and wonderfully exciting. I'm so glad that this is just happened. The schedule has happened to fall with the beginning of autumn. The beginning of the fall season is really when we're first able to get in there, which is in many ways the beginning of a church year. We kind of follow the academic calendar in American churches. At least it's reflected. And many of us had vacation recently, just like school children do in the summer. So it's a great time. So these 3 weeks, and this is the end of 3 weeks, I've really had three messages to kind of prepare us for any fall. But this fall in particular, with going into new building and changing the schedule too. So a couple of weeks ago I started, and my first one was, why church? And if you haven't listened to it, the point of that one was, hey, if I'm a Christian, if I follow the Lord, I'm saved. Isn't that enough? Why does the Lord give us an additional gift of the church, his people gathered together? And then also, how is the church also a gift to the surrounding society, even if it doesn't always feel that way? And then last week, looked at specifically, why the education hour? As we are moving to a new schedule, this service will be 8:30 next week. And the later service will be 11 o'clock. And in between, we have an education hour from 9:50 to 10:50. Really encourage everyone, please come to that. Be a participant in a class, or we need help in kids' life. This is a time we all can be in the building. And what we talked about there was, do not be conformed to the world, as Paul says, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And part of that is giving ourselves to studying God's word together, an hour, education hour. And so we end this series today with the question, why Sunday? And that's appropriate too, because this church, like many churches, have invested so much time and money into Sundays. And that goes back even before we had a building purchased in the late 80s, this building. If you go back further, you can go back to when we were renting. I wasn't here. I shouldn't say we, maybe. But some of you were here renting a gym from a school. And that took money to gather all of us together. And then let's buy a building. And now let's fix the building. Let's enhance the building. That's a lot of investment. And the primary day of the week where we utilize it is Sunday. A lot of churches have done this because Sunday is the Lord's Day. And for 2,000 years, churches have been gathering together. And I want to explore that a little bit more today. Why Sundays? But can I start with the slide here? Can I start with a catechism that taught me as a young child the importance of Sundays? It's a catechism with a song. Easy to remember. I was taught this as a kid, the importance of Sundays. I want to show you the lyrics. Okay, let's read these lyrics. They taught me the importance of Sunday. It's just another manic Monday. Whoa, whoa. I wish it was Sunday. Whoa, whoa. Now, by the way, let me stop right there. I wish it was Sunday. Some of you might want the word were there, the subjunctive. New Life Grammarians, I know you're out there. There we go. I wish it was Sunday. Whoa, whoa. Because that's my fun day. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now, by the way, if anyone's listening just to the audio, this is not W-O-E. This is W-O-A-H, which is happier. Because that's my fun day. My I don't have to run day. Whoa, whoa. It's just another manic Monday. What does this teach about Sunday? Boy, this sounds kind of right with things I'm going to say here from the Bible. My I don't have to run day. It sounds like it's not a work day. That's actually kind of right. You know what the danger is here, though? What does it get wrong? And here is the deal. Every secular catechism that teaches us usually leaves God out. The silence here. That's the problem, if anything. Whenever we are tempted to conform to the world, if you will, there's a pattern, there's a silence about giving God his due. God invented Sunday. He invented an I don't have to run day. It's his gift to us. And I want to explore that a little bit more today. What I also knew about as a kid about Sunday was that I didn't like going to church. My confession, I faked illness on many a Sunday. Gasp. Yes. And for one big reason. You might have multiple reasons why maybe church is not exciting. It was boring. I thought church could have been more exciting. That was really it. My one reason. I don't know what age it was in life that I realized one day, you know, if I took everything out of my schedule that was boring, if I could do that, if I could remove everything as boring, where would I be in a year? And the answer hit me, dead and broke, but mostly dead. You have to think through that. Removing everything that is a little boring, you know, but we know that many things that aren't the most exciting are good for us. Good for us. All right. Here's what I want to do. I want to now turn to God's word. And usually we're holding open our Bible, working through a passage. But this is another one where I won't be asking you to do that because this is more of an overview of the Sabbath and the Lord's Day, Saturday, Sunday, all this rest, worship. And we'll touch on Genesis, we'll touch on Exodus, we'll touch on John, we'll touch on Revelation. So we're still paying attention to God's word, whether it's one passage or if it's an overview of more than one passage. Here's the outline. We're going to start with the Old Testament. Before Christ, the Sabbath in the Old Testament. And then we'll move to the big transition point, 1 week. And that is Christ's final week in his earthly ministry, including death and resurrection. And then after that, the rest of the New Testament. So after his resurrection, we'll talk about the Lord's Day. Sunday, today. Two caveats here. One, I already gave you the one. We're not studying one passage. Second thing is, there's a lot of detailed questions you might have about Sunday observance, Sabbath observance, and those are real and important questions and some difficult ones. But I just don't have time for them today. So we'll stay with the overview. All right, so let's start with number one here. Before Christ, the Sabbath in the Old Testament. One simple verse, and you probably have heard it before. This is from the Ten Commandments. And I always want to point out that how important was the Sabbath? Well, it made God's top ten. His top ten commandments, commandment number four. Here's part of it. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And there you can hear the first theme very clearly. It's about rest. The Sabbath is about rest. You have 6 days to labor, and then this day is different. You don't have the ordinary work to secure food, to secure a paycheck. 6 days you shall labor, 1 day rest. Can you see why I did this on Labor Day weekend, by the way? So Labor Day, invention in the United States, late 19th century, to honor the fruits of labor in the United States. That's great, but can I tell you, God invented Labor Day first. And not only that, it's not just one day a year. God's Labor Day is once a week. That's really what this is about. First, it's rest. It's a gift. And we're not supposed to be in the rat race 24/7, 365. Take a day off, the Lord says. You need rest. Can you see it's also about worship? Same verse. The seventh day is a Sabbath. To the Lord your God. To the Lord your God. Some places else, in other places in the Old Testament, we see it called a solemn rest. And what a phrase to unify these two things. It's solemn, worship element to it. And it's a rest. Our identity, if you're in Christ, if you're a believer, our identity is as a group of worshipers, his people. And I always like to say that's even before mission. And mission is so important. We are a missional people. Remember the Great Commission. Make disciples of all nations. But even before that, before Israel was given a mission to be a light to the nations, God gathered them at Sinai to worship him, to serve him. Let my people go that they might worship me, Moses said to Pharaoh. And even when our earthly mission to make the disciples of the nations is done for eternity, we'll still be a worshiping people. It's a deep identity of ours. And that should shape the way we look at this day. Now, that's the Old Testament. Rest and worship. And let's just pause right now and be kind of look at application. Do you still need a day of rest and worship? Like the Old Testament Israelites, do you and I still need a day of rest and worship? And here's the answer. You do if you're human. Now, if you're a robot, maybe you don't. But if you're human, like the Israelites, then this day of rest and worship is still for us. It's still God's gift for frail humans made in his image, both rest and worship. Now the transition. Christ's final week. Now, when Jesus comes to earth, he fulfills everything in the Old Testament. You ever think about how he fulfills the work week and the Sabbath? He fulfills all these prophecies, all these laws. And Jesus says he'll fulfill, and he does, every jot and tittle, which is an old-fashioned way of saying every least stroke of the pen in the Old Testament, he fulfills it all. Now, here's the thing you might be confused with, and you should be. This is actually a hard issue. When Jesus fulfills some things, that means some of these laws that he fulfills change. They're not laws anymore. But not all of them. Some are still laws, even for us. I'll give you an example of the latter. Jesus fulfilled the law of do not murder and do not steal. Two from the Ten Commandments. He perfectly obeyed these, even in his heart. Does that mean that those two laws, since Jesus fulfilled, are not binding on us? Well, of course not. In that, every church has always taught, do not murder, do not steal. Jesus even taught these things. They don't change. But as you know, other things that Jesus fulfilled did trigger changes. Think of the sacrificial system. We did not build a temple or a tabernacle over there to sacrifice animals. We know when he fulfilled that, that's the kind of thing we don't do in worship anymore. I say this is one of the things that's hard when you're learning the Bible is when Jesus fulfills something, does that mean it's not a law binding upon us anymore? Or is it still? Now, the thing with Sabbath, it's actually kind of both. And that's one of the reasons why this is confusing in time. So I want to unpack this, but here I want to unpack it by starting with Jesus's final week. And did you ever think of it as his work week followed by a day of rest. Let's start with that last week. What is day one? The triumphal entry. Palm Sunday. That's where we start it, right? And this is his first day of work. And by the way, if it didn't seem like work just to ride an animal, to do all this, to plan, and all the conversations that happen, all this, and stress is starting to grow right away. He starts to get opposition on that first day. And then you have the next couple days. Jesus does all kinds of things. He cleanses the temple. He also teaches. They try to trap him. He also gives a sermon, if you will, on the end of all things. Mount Olivet. He's going in and out of Jerusalem, staying at Bethany at least some of the nights. And then Thursday comes. And we know what that is. That's the Last Supper. And he washes his disciples' feet. And he's betrayed that night. He's arrested. And you know what happens Friday? He's handed over to be crucified. And he dies. That was a week of work, I'm sure of heat, of stress, ending with his execution. He has a full Sabbath day in the grave. Now, at the time, I'm sure they just thought of that as the end, his death. And we might not think of it as a full Sabbath day because we think of it as 3 days in the tomb, but that's part of Friday. All of Saturday, part of Sunday. Old Jewish reckoning, that's 3 days. Only one day is a full day. Sabbath. You know where this is going on the first day of the week, Easter. Jesus rises from the dead. And when you look back, you realize his body was sleeping in the tomb. What an amazing fulfillment of his Sabbath rest after his work was complete. And that sets up, after Christ's resurrection, the Lord's Day. Sabbath was Saturday. And then something happens, and Christians began, like us today, worshiping on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. Well, I want to talk about that here a little bit. The phrase "the Lord's Day" appears only once in the Bible. The day of the Lord appears many times, including in the Old Testament. But the Lord's Day, John uses it in the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Verse 10 of chapter 1. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. What a reference to the first day of the week. The Lord's Day. And that's it. And you see this hinted at in the New Testament. That the first day of the week is now in the church age becoming really important. We see this in Acts 20. Paul meeting with the Ephesian elders. We see this in one verse in 1 Corinthians. And you see John referring it to it here as the Lord's Day. Now here's what I want you to know. Is this could be called the Christian Sabbath. Now I think that could be misleading. It's not exactly like the Sabbath with the penalties and stuff in the Old Testament. But it is a day of corporate worship. It starts to transition from day 7 to day 1 in the early Christian church. Now, what this does is it still maintains what we've already covered from the Old Testament. It still is about rest and worship. It's still about rest and worship. You know what that's meant for me? For years, I go to church and then I take a nap. It can mean different things for you and how you observe it. But it's still that rest, and as long as you're human, you need that. But what's so wonderful about the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, is how it deepens work and rest with two new things. Resurrection and destiny is the way I want to summarize it today. Resurrection and destiny. Now, you know resurrection. Why is the first day of the week special now? The Lord's day. His day. He owns it. He triumphed over the grave on this day. John 20, verse 1. You know, you've heard this before. What happens? Where we have... I think I lost it here. Sorry. We have Mary Magdalene, that first verse. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and the stone was rolled away. The first day of the week. Resurrection. I want you to think about these things, if you could, just for a moment. Like a historian. Historians have to ask questions about why things happen. How to explain them. What were people thinking? Why did this happen? Or what other factors might be at work? And here's a tough one. Here's a tough question. How did these Old Testament loving Jewish Christians shift from day 7 to day 1? You ever think about that? Day 7, the Sabbath, work 6 days and then rest on day 7. They did that for centuries. And Jesus comes on the scene and Jesus reiterated how important their scriptures were. The Old Testament, he says, I'm going to fulfill every stroke. Scripture cannot be broken. And you have these Jews that know that this was God's command. It was not just a tradition that was invented and we don't know the reason. Like you hear in Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye, tradition. They know where this tradition came from. It came from God. And yet something happened. That these Old Testament loving Jewish Christians shifted to day 1, the first day of the week, without throwing the Old Testament under the bus. It's because something happened on the first day of the week. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's called the Lord's Day again. I love when Jesus said earlier in his ministry, with all these Sabbath controversies. Remember all the Sabbath controversies? And Jesus says at one point something amazing. The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Son of Man is the way he's referring to himself. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. He fulfills it. And then he rises on the first day of the week. And that day of worship is transitioned in the early church to that day. I don't want to be misunderstood here. This might sound like I'm contradicting myself, but I want to say something. I don't think churches actually have to worship on Sundays, the first day of the week. We don't see that as a command anywhere in the New Testament. So actually, this is something you see them start to do. But I know some churches that worship on different days of the week. I can think of some that worship on Saturday. I just heard of a church plant in a Muslim culture, and that church worships on Friday. I actually think that's okay. I think there's flexibility. But I can see why the early church said, if we had our choice, the first day of the week when our Lord triumphed over the grave, and that gets me into destiny. Why this day? Destiny. I love that it's the first day of the week, the beginning of a new age, a new week, but it's long. It's an age that will last into eternity. Jesus entered into it when he emerged with a glorified body, never to die again. And we are told we will rise with that same kind of glorified body. 1 Corinthians 15. He's the first fruits of this larger resurrection. He just got in there first. We will follow him, brothers and sisters, if he doesn't come back during your lifetime. We will follow him into the grave as we each die. And then we follow him out of the grave. He's ahead of us. And the way the Bible talks about it is he has entered this indestructible age, this indestructible life. And I love how he fulfilled the 7 days, the work week, 6 days, and then he rests Sabbath, and then something brand new starts on the first day of the week. And this new, brand new age, you could even call the eternal Sabbath rest. An age that will not end. An age of perfection. And now here's the gospel in all this. You see, we say the gospel in different ways because the Bible does. And the Bible will speak of the good news, the gospel, in terms of Jesus' resurrection as our destiny. As our destiny, he rose, imperishable, never to die again. So shall we. This is your destiny, brothers and sisters, in Christ. It's as sure as anything. He has entered a perfect age, and he will come back to make the world perfect in his own image. And we are to participate and live in that. This is the gospel of eternal, resurrected life. Apart from this, human destiny can look kind of grim, can it? Sickness, weakness, death, judgment. And Jesus transformed all that on the first day of the week. The first day of the week. And that becomes our destiny. I think there's a great passage. It doesn't mention Sunday. Doesn't mention the Lord's Day, but it's from 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want you to listen to all these. It's kind of small to read here. 1 Peter 1 verses 3 through 9. And you'll hear all about resurrection and hope and destiny and life. All these things that are forward looking. Do you know the Sabbath in the Old Testament, wasn't it retrospective? Mainly, you work 6 days and then you rest. The seventh day, it's kind of retrospective and it's the end of the week. And then here we have in the Lord's Day, the beginning of a brand new week, an era that lasts forever. It's prospective, full of hope, destiny, life, looking forward. Let me read this to you. Most of 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, I cut out just a little bit. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him. And rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is joy due to our destiny being certain. Isn't that great? If you look forward to the future and all the big questions in life are answered, all our big problems are solved, and the most glorious life you can imagine is your destiny. Inexpressible joy is ours now because of that future, a future that's already started on the first day of the week. 2,000 years ago. Well, let's end with just some practical considerations here. So Sundays, this is a call to you, to me, brothers and sisters, that this day remains important. It's not the most, you know, you could say the most important thing is not going to church, but faith in Christ, being saved by his blood, believing in him truly, absolutely, please hear me, absolutely, having a resurrection faith in your heart. That's the most important thing. But part of this faith is taking this day of rest and worship. And we know it's not just rest and worship, it's about resurrection and destiny. and to join with our brothers and sisters on this day to worship. I remember having this thought years ago where I had myself saying out loud, well, I have to get in work on time. I used to teach computer programming classes, and class had to start at 9. And I had to get there because that was my job every day, even if I didn't feel like it. Or when I was a student, I had to get to school in time or you get in trouble. Even day, every day, even if I didn't, if I wanted to sleep in or whatever. And I had this thought, I realized, you know, I treat Sunday differently. If the Lord would ask me, this is a scary thought I had, you know, if the Lord would ask me, why is Sunday different than work and school where you have to, you know, you have to be there? Why is this less important? Well, because I got to eat, I got to keep my job, or I'm going to get in trouble or whatever. And I felt the Lord said, well, you know, how important is this? If we are a worshiping people, if this is a day of rest and worship and resurrection and destiny and joy and all that. If you have an answer for the Lord, if he would ask you, then good. I couldn't come up with one. And I think this is an important day. There are details of how to observe this day. I know, I just want to refresh again, if you're struggling with some of the details of, can I do this or that or what? I think, brothers and sisters, that this is where you need to live by Christian conscience. I think Romans 14 is always a good passage here. Romans 14, he actually brings up special days and food and all that. And there's this idea that there are going to be tough questions in life that you don't always have chapter and verse for. You know what I mean? Tough questions in life. I don't have exactly chapter and verse. What should I do here? And the answer in Romans 14 is, even if you don't know for sure, try to do with all conviction what you think the Lord's will is for your life. On your knees. Lord, I seek your will to do with Sunday as you would please, and Monday through Saturday. And if I'm wrong, correct me, Lord. But what Romans 14 teaches there is you and I stand and fall before our master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is able to make us stand. But conscience before him, trying to do his will, even on these detailed questions that sometimes are a little difficult. But if I could leave you with one encouragement, we can get caught up in the details. We can get caught up with that alarm going off and not wanting to get out of bed. But if we can remind ourselves, this was a gift. This day. A day to leave the rat race. A day to say, Lord, we trust you with our finances. We don't have to work all day, every day. Lord, this is a day that I give you worship. And this is a day that I'm reminded of the destiny that you secured for me when our Lord Jesus rose from the dead and this became his day, the Lord's day. This is a gift. And I pray our hearts, when we're challenged to see it as something else, that we'd be reminded of that. Let's go to prayer right now. And that's the prayer, that we would be reminded this is a gift this day. Lord, we do pray that this is a gift this Sunday, and our hearts can be brought down by the details and things that are maybe boring or things we'd rather be doing or something. But Lord, give us the faith to see this as it is, a gift that will only build us up in time, Sunday after Sunday, year over year, that this will build us up and we will be giving you the glory and honor you deserve. Lord, help our foolish hearts to be strengthened in knowledge of this gift. In Jesus' name, amen.